I'll just watch Sailor Moon Eternal Part 1 or 2 on Netflix! Back to a very special episode of Silver Millennials, the Sailor Moon podcast. Today, you're joining us for our first Sailor Moon impressions, review, and recap.
If you guys haven't joined us before, we are Silver Millennials. We're five best friends that just love to ramble about Sailor Moon 24/7.
And if you're watching the deluxe YouTube version, make sure you chat with us in the comments. That way, yep. And then also make sure you subscribe so you can always be in the loop whenever we drop a new video.
It's a great time to be a Moonie. And well, Netflix just released part one and part two of Sailor Moon Eternal. So we are super excited to share our thoughts and first impressions. And let's get down to business, you guys.
But before we get to it, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the movies yet, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Netflix and check them out now so you can join in on the fun.
Right, because we're going to spoil it all. So definitely watch them before you watch this podcast. I'm sure we're all feeling a lot of different emotions right now because it's very fresh in our minds. We just watched it hours ago. So yep. Let's start off with a quick temperature check. How's everyone feeling? Was it everything you hoped for? Did it live up to this hype, this long hype to get to the international people?
I loved it. I think that there were obviously some things that I'm sure we'll talk about, but overall, I'm happy.
Insert the In Living Color Men on Blank. Hated it, Jeff.
I loved it. Because, you know, Sailor Moon Crystal season 1, 2, and 3 has been getting progressively better, and I was a pretty harsh critic of the first two seasons. I went into this with very low expectations, so I loved it.
I was also one of the haters. Everything I had seen so far. Sorry, Lux. However, he rolled his eyes. However, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And we'll get to why and why not.
I also was like, not much expectations. We saw what we saw last year for like previews, even though they were like little stills here and there. We were kind of bummed. I mean, if you've been listening to our podcast, we weren't expecting much, but I really enjoyed it. And I cried a few times.
Says the cancer.
I'm sorry.
I know which part she cried on, too.
So there's a lot to unpack here. I think we should maybe just like go through this step by step. So we'll start off by breaking it down kind of by different categories. So we'll start with maybe the animation. Animation has been something with Sailor Moon that has had its highs, it's had its lows. And fans are used to having different animation styles. What did you guys think of animation this time?
Way better.
I thought they improved since season 1 and 2. Like, the character design was better. I didn't have a problem with the animation.
I thought overall the consistency was very good. However, there was some stills that, and I got screenshots where it looked a little wonky. Like, there were parts where Pegasus looked awful. When parts he looked very beautiful and had these long, beautiful eyelashes, and then there would be a wonky scene later. But overall, I was very impressed. It outbeat all of the other seasons as far as consistency.
I agree. The animation did have its wonky parts, but overall, very consistent, very beautiful. And I think we can all agree that most of this is supposedly in Asabu Juban, and the feel is very authentic. Like, I really felt like, I feel like in the 90s anime and Crystal, there was a sense that you were in Asabu Juban, but it's a little bit more like dreamy, not very real, very, I don't know, cartoon.
Generic.
Yeah, too. Very generic for anime. But this one, I truly felt like I was there. So in that regard, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. I was so excited to see that.
Yeah, I agree. The animation was definitely way better than what we've been used to. So that was super awesome to see. And yes, seeing Azabu was like just all the different locations. And it's like, oh my God, I feel like I've seen this before. You know, like some of the streets, it's like, have we walked down this street before? You know, it was like, yeah, it was really pretty. We have. But it was so nice. It brought me back like, oh, I missed this. And that's some of the parts, the animation was, some of it seemed like, obviously it was a cartoon or, you know, obviously anime, but some of it seemed a little real, like really detailed for some of the backgrounds. So I really enjoyed the animation. The steals part, not so much. They were, like Brooke was saying, wonky. But as long as when the animation was flowing, it was good.
Yeah, when they were acting and talking, doing that kind of stuff, that was okay. But I kind of hate it when they take the cheap route and they go like, Usagi! You know, it's a long time of a still shot. And I mean, it's annoying at times. So those are the kind of cheats I guess we're all talking about that we didn't like. You know, there are just a few changes here and there that weren't really good. But yeah, overall, yeah.
Or the part where it's like her hair.
I do have one critique about the style of the animation. I really disliked when they had this view of a lot of angles. Oh. I thought the nose and the mouth didn't really look the same. Wasn't
consistent. Yeah. Sometimes it was round. Sometimes it was pointed. Yeah.
Their nose was very round instead of like super pointy, like, you know, anime noses are. And I thought that was a little bizarre at some points, especially when they did like a three-quarter view of like Usagi, especially at the beginning when they were getting ready to see Chibiusa off. Her eye that was like shadowed a little bit looked so weird, and I couldn't let it go.
Yeah. No. And also there was too many frame by frame shots that were like too like the manga, like with the lack of eyes, like it would just be nose and mouth.
Yeah.
And like at first I was like, okay, that's cute. And then after like the 50th one, I was like, okay, I'm over this.
You wish they would have adapted something new for the movie instead of following it scene by scene from the manga panels.
It's kind of like the Disney like live action remake of The Lion King. It was just literally like frame by frame by frame. And like, we've seen this shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it when they deviate a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. They could have done their own take on it, but I feel like it's been a hit or miss for fans. Crystal has been a hit or miss for fans. So they're like, we're not messing this up. We're going with the manga. But it became annoying. And I am actually prepared for this. Okay, so when Naoko is doing the manga, he tends to do like little expressions, like in the corner, like if they're going like, ah, or any of those like little animated you know, little bubbles, I'm going to call them.
Yeah.
It's very Naoko, and they copied her down to those little details, and I don't think it was necessary. So if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, this is what I'm talking about. They'll go like,
the same thing Lex was saying. Yeah, yeah.
I hate that.
And Mamoru would go like, oh. Well,
the reason that
recreated those.
The reason the bunny bothered me was because those weren't in season one or two of Crystal, and all of a sudden we see like, bam, right here there's this rabbit and she's like talking for Usagi, and I'm like, why?
Yes, they kind of started incorporated in three. It's still, it's not consistent, but that's the whole like critique of Crystal, like Crystal / Eternal. It's all been a shit show as far as consistency.
Every season of Crystal is like so different from the last, and I'm like, am I watching the same show?
Yeah.
I should just stick with the
90s. We could go on forever about that, especially if we were just focusing on season one and two, which but.
Well, we just watched it too. Like, I did a rewatch, and I think some of you guys might have rewatched a few episodes as well. So coming off of that, I want to be fresh and, you know, kind of remember the feelings. It was good. Season three is really good, but it does not feel cohesive with the movie.
Absolutely.
No, yeah.
Yeah. It's like each season is its own thing. And which is sad because they're supposed to be continuing, you know, it's supposed to be the whole manga.
Sin, I got one for you. It's like the first Twilight movie, so indie and beautiful. And then the rest are like this huge franchise. They don't feel connected. Yeah. The first movie and the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. I got you. Perfect comparison.
I got you, girl.
All right. Is there anything else for the animation or no? No? All right.
Nope.
Let's move on into the voice acting. You know, what are the thoughts? Did everybody get past any of the Japanese? Did we listen to the English or the Spanish?
I was able to watch both. So I watched Japanese first, and then I watched English second. Haven't watched any of the other languages. But I can say that Japanese, I felt right at home. Like, I didn't find a lot of the voices to really sound that much different from the previous Crystal. So I thought it was pretty smooth. When I watched the English version, however, there was a few things that kind of stood out to me. I didn't really enjoy when the older characters were trying to do younger voices. A lot of the time I could hear that they were pitching the voices up. So you could literally hear the digital filter on there, or just some of the acting was a little less natural when they were playing their younger version. So that was a little different, but overall, I thought the voice acting was pretty strong. I did notice there was a cast change in the English version. They recast Helios, but everybody else sounded like it was the same actors from the previous version of Crystal and Sailor Moon.
I only watched it in Japanese because I'm a purist. I like to watch it in the original form that it is originated and the director wants you to see it in. And I will say Kotono has gotten so much better from season one, where she was like, girl, let's get someone younger. So like something happened. She lubricated that voice and she is sounding great. She sounded so good. I was really proud of her. I was like, oh my God, like you sound so much better. Maybe not when she was doing that little freak out one part, like, ooh. There she is. But I have to give it to her. For a woman, like, in, I don't know if in her 50s or whatnot, 40s, she sounds amazing. And my one quip was, I know they got that celebrity or whatever, that celebrity to do Zirconia, and I absolutely hated that. I was like, ugh. She sounded, I mean, it was like, I was like watching Drag Race. Like, I was like, no.
Aww.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the Japanese hold up. I have not seen that one yet. I'm going to watch it later. I woke up late today. Don't worry. I love the Japanese, and it's always going to be my favorite format. But I wanted to watch it in English so I didn't have to be reading subtitles and getting ready for this podcast. So I can only speak about the English one as of now. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. I do agree with Luke. There was a little off points. I will say the voice actors that were on point were the villains. I thought the Amazonas Quartet freaking rocked it. The Amazon Trio rocked it. Nahelenia rocked it. I love them all. You could just feel the passion in their voices. And they were my favorite out of the English cast.
Well, I did Japanese. I watched Japanese first. And I did watch a little bit of the Spanish version, but not enough to give a complete judgment, just little snippets here and there. So I guess my impressions with the Japanese dub is like, okay, they do what they do. Like, it's nothing new. I wasn't blown away. Like Lux said, Kotono has a little bit of trouble hitting those high notes. So I don't know. There's just things. But this is nitpicking. The only person I have an issue with, and I've always had an issue with, is Luna. Whoever's playing Luna, she sounds dead to me. Like, put some emotion into this, you know? She's just like, Uzagi. I don't know. It just feels so dead. I'm talking about the Japanese cast. Whoever casted Luna from the beginning of Crystal, because I think it's the same person all throughout, is doing an awful job. That's just my takeaway from that.
She ain't no Keiko.
Yes, exactly. Keiko had this quality. I always say that it's a meowy quality. It kind of sounds like, yeah, Shaggy. I don't know how to imitate it.
I get you.
My impression was bullshit, but I do feel like there's more Keiko feel in there, whereas on Crystal, I don't get that. It's a regular girl, you know? Hmm. So that's my only issue. Everyone else was great. Or fine, or what I was expecting. And unfortunately, like I said, I didn't watch enough of the Spanish, but I did see the first scene with the eclipse, and there's Usagi Chibiusa, Mamoru Chibiusa. The Spanish version is, mwah, love her. The Usagi, she's also getting up there in age, so she cannot hit those tones anymore. Mm-hmm. So she sounds like a more mature Usagi, although that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I'm okay with that. And Mamoru, somehow, his voice is very, very, very deep in the Spanish version, but he sounds so dreamy, you guys. Yes, that was me the whole time.
That's why she's late.
Had to train myself up a little bit.
Yeah, for those who are watching, she was extremely late to this get together for this recording. So now we know.
Sin, I was going to say, you can't straighten yourself up in the month of Pride.
But anyway, it sounded great. I also heard a little bit of the Senshi voices. Not all of them are sounding like they did in the 90s, but this was 25 years ago. So we'll let that slide. They did a great job so far. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it for my my thoughts on voice acting. But I did have some issues, but most of them is what I expected.
Okay, so for me, the voices that stood out, Zirconia, I'm sorry, I love her. I know.
Are you talking about the Japanese?
Yes, the Japanese version. So
Naomi.
So, yes.
Naomi.
So I watched all the Japanese and part of the English. I had to stop watching the English so I could get ready for this. But for the Japanese, my favorites were definitely Zirconia and Artemis. I loved Artemis's voice.
Artemis was fun, yes.
He was so cute. Kitono, obviously, she, like everyone else, she's done progressively better, getting back into her groove. So that was really good to see. Let's see. Nehelenia, her voice was kind of not as powerful as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I had that issue too.
Yeah, she is another celebrity that they brought in. Her, I think her name was Nanao, but she's a celebrity that's pretty big in like the television circuit over there. And she doesn't have as much voice acting experience.
Yeah, in the beginning I was like, okay, it seemed really smooth. And then once she came on, I was like, oh, I was hoping for some just powerfulness.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So I'm excited to see when I get to the full English version to see how the English actress does. So
she did good. I liked her.
She did great. Yeah.
When I got to the English side, everybody seemed to be, what I've watched before. Ochi's mentioned before that they've gotten better over time, and I can see that for sure. The only problem I have is just Chibiusa and Usagi pretty close to the same voice almost.
You think so?
Wait, in the English one?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of similar a little bit. So sometimes you can't really separate the age of the two of them sometimes.
It's kind of fitting. They're kind of twinsies on a lot of things.
They are, but I haven't finished the whole thing. Like I said, I think I got to 30 minutes of it. It wasn't much. But what I've seen so far, I've liked it. So
I got to ask, for those who watched the English one, how was Zirconia? Because I loved her as Rita Repulsa in the 90s. Like that voice. It's like, so how was she?
All the villains
perfection.
Were
perfection.
Yeah, they were great. Good.
And if you're watching this, girl, love you.
All right. So now I guess we can go into the next point of discussion, the music. So I think this is a brand new soundtrack, right, for this movie? Was it exclusively for it?
Yeah, it definitely...
Oh, a full soundtrack.
It definitely had all new music. I'm gonna say that I wasn't super impressed. Nothing stood out as super amazing, but it didn't detract from the movie at all. I still really enjoyed the movie. But I think we all have those old cues kind of in the back of our mind, and they're so memorable and so powerful. And I didn't really find that I had anything that really stood out to me too much. nothing stood out as being particularly bad, but it was just meh for me.
I wrote down in my notes that whenever Helios and Chibiusa kiss, it was like very Titanic music. I was like, oh, this
never
is
let what, go.
What the, well, I don't know. It was just like, you're here. I was like, oh gosh. I agree totally with Luke. I felt the soundtrack sounded very classical. It didn't fit the pace or the feel of what the 90s had, this beautiful music that, I mean, you can just listen to it. So dreamy and beautiful and jazzy. And this one didn't have that at all.
I agree. I was very mad about it as well. There was some parts in the scenes where I can't really put it into words on what I liked about it, but there was like, it was a more modern tone. I know you guys mentioned that there was a lot of classical stuff, but there was also a couple of modern parts in there that I thought was very cool and very in the moment. But for the majority of it, it was nothing like the 90s. There was nothing that, you know, pumped you up, especially like the Henshin music from back in the day, like, you know, the outers with the violin, that just gets you pumped, man. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing that kind of got you pumped in this. It was all just background music.
Elevator.
And, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I agree with everybody. It wasn't bad. It was just not something that I'm going to remember or would want to run out and buy the soundtrack, even though I'm a collector and did.
Even though I already did,
because there was a bonus damn card. Thanks, CD Japan. That's how they get you.
Yep.
Well, I try to like keep track of it, but I only have two things. Circus theme was a new take on the Sailor Moon classic theme. So the first time we see the circus, there is a little bit of a theme for the circus. And I don't know if you guys remember like the obviously super classical, super iconic for Supers. And they had kind of a twist on that, but it's so subtle and it's so like orchestrated that it's its own thing. And the next one, there's like some melodies that are sung like kind of, I don't know, you know, like an operatic voice. but then it faded away from me. Same as
not memorable.
Everybody's saying not memorable. I would like to enjoy the music because, again, growing up in the 90s with the 90s soundtracks, they were so iconic, so cool.
Yeah. Always pumped you up.
For sure. So yeah, it was just background music. It is tied up to Crystal though, because Crystal also has a lot of orchestrated you know, background music. So I guess consistency is okay.
Wow, that's exactly shocking for this franchise.
The only consistency.
I know. But bad. in the same vein as music are the sound effects. A lot of these sound effects are from Crystal, but I did notice they put a little bit more of also 90s, like especially when they're doing their attacks and transformations. It's a mix between the 90s and Crystal. So while I do appreciate a throwback, if you're not going to throw us back in the music, why throw us back with the sounds? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a little bit all over the place, but I did appreciate it whenever I was paying attention. Which was most of the time. Yeah.
And I really don't have a lot to add because you guys have said pretty much everything about the music. Because at first I was like, okay, yes, feels, we're getting back into this. And then, yeah, it ended up just being this. Just background elevator music, like you guys said. So it was pretty for what it was, but not to get us pumped up like we have in the past. So that's unfortunate, but it's Crystal.
Well, I will say, like Brooke said, like the Henshin, like the ooh, do, 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 do. Like, I miss that. Like, I'm like, yeah, it's happening. She's changing. She's Henshin and whatever. And now it's just like.
When they went to transform back, it was just like, phew, hey, I'm back. Hey, I'm already transformed. It was just like, whoo.
So have we all discussed music now? All right, let's move on to the story. Eternal Vice's manga. Any major changes? Pacing? Too fast? Enough character development?
Yeah, I think I just kind of wanted to say, as for the pacing of the story, as I was watching it, I was really enjoying the pace. But then when I got to the second movie, in the beginning, there's this part where the outers are kind of talking and they mention that the eclipse happened 6 months previously. And then I thought about it and I'm like, wait, 6 months? What? And then I was thinking back and I'm like, so the whole first movie was 6 months. And then I thought, wow, that pacing seems a bit off. And there was just some stuff that stood out to me. And I thought there wasn't anything that really gave the feeling of the passage of time. Like every day when we were watching the anime and there's scenes where they're going to school and this kind of stuff, you realize, hey, time is passing. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, there wasn't a lot that really gave you the sense of a long point of time. And then when they were talking about Hotaru going from a baby to where she was, I just really didn't get this idea that that much time had passed. And other things that kind of threw me off for pacing is there was a lot of, you guys mentioned these stills, and they'll do stills, and you're kind of thrown off guard because there's so much stuff happening. It's like, here, I'm having a memory. Here's the stills from the memory. And here's a previous scene that we just showed you of a battle. And it's like, there's so much stuff happening that it really kind of is jarring. And it doesn't allow you to just kind of enjoy the moment as much. So pacing was a bit off for me. But overall, I enjoyed the first movie and the second movie on their own. They didn't have to draw attention to the timeline. I think that's what threw me off the most.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. They could not say that.
The 6 months thing. That I was like, what? Yeah. What?
It felt like one long day.
One long day. So you're telling me.
Sorry, Tara.
Oh, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so they had this barrier thing, and it seemed like trash was accumulating on the streets. So it gave me the impression, oh, it's because of that barrier there. The trash services can't come clean up the streets.
Wow.
But if it was 6 months, how did they get food? How did anything get done? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and then for me, it was like, okay, so all the Guardians didn't get their power-ups for like 1 month apart from each other? Or like, okay, so only, it was only Sailor Moon... Sailor Chibi Moon and Mercury fighting for a little bit, and then are we starting over from season one? You know, that was 6 months of not battling together.
And how long were Moon and Chibi Moon like little and old big switch? How did Mama Ikuko and Daddy Papa Kenji not question this?
Right.
I think in the manga, they actually drew attention to the fact that they were gonna have to rehypnotize the family because
they did.
Yeah.
Well, they left that detail out in this one. This was
it would have been a good one to add in.
Anyone else?
We can go back to our turns.
Okay, Lux, I think you were next.
Okay, we're on pacing and story. Okay, I thought the pacing was all over the place. Like we said, it felt like one long day. Character development. I don't know. I'll let Brooke go while I ponder on this. I'll come back.
I agree with what everybody's been saying so far. My only other thoughts are, since these are movies, they're gonna feel faster. I mean, they covered the entire Dream arc in two movies versus all the other seasons who got so many episodes. So everything just seemed like, wow, we're done and over. They beat Nehelania and we're done. We're on to Stars next. So I'm like, okay. But I know Lux is about to talk about character development, but I know these characters. I know how they are. I know everything. So as a Sailor Moon fan, I don't particularly have anything to say about the character development just because I know them. So that would have to be a good question for somebody who's never watched like the anime or read the manga. True. And they just watched True. Crystal to Eternal. I'd wonder what they would have to say.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
one. Yeah, I do I feel like this whole arc really is one of the times where we get a lot of character development. Like, they really zoom in on each of the Senshi, and you kind of see a little bit more about their backstory and find out what motivates them and what their vulnerabilities are and all of that. So I thought they did a really nice job of each one of kind of telling their stories as they were getting their power-ups.
Wasn't it so relatable? I felt like, you know, their insecurities were just stuff that we all experience, you know, like being jealous of friends or feeling like you're the one nobody likes. I really liked, you know, seeing their inner thoughts as an anime. I know we've read it in the manga, but it was just so cool to see and so relatable.
Mm-hmm. Very relatable. You just
had all
huh?
Oh, sorry. I'm just saying that you just think it's relatable because Mako had all those plants in her
house. Well, yes, that's another story. Yes, I was living for that plants up in there.
Yes, that little store. Hmm.
I was going to say about character development, the only thing that kind of, like we said, you know, it's fast paced. It covered all these episodes in two movies, but Chibusa cared for Helios so quickly. And like, she was just so in love with him. And I'm like, girl, you keep calling him every 2 seconds. Like, I didn't see. Like, every little second she's pulling out this bell and he just like pops up. Like,
no wonder he's out of energy.
Right? Oh, wait, she's training it.
Remember, she saw him once and she was over Mamoru. She was like, oh, yeah, this is my new boy.
Let's not even touch on that.
She was over her dad.
There is such a love at first sight.
And that's very prominent in the whole Sailor Moon series. I mean, they're all boy crazy. Oh my God.
Well, like, I wouldn't say Michiru.
Right. Well, all of the inner guardians are so, besides Rei, are so boy crazy. They're always wanting a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Can relate.
Yeah, that's true. They do a lot of advice on that. Yeah. I have a few things to say about character development, but I'm not going to, because I have like 4 pages of character development, but I'm not going to get all of them.
Oh my gosh.
Because we can also talk about manga and 90s anime and Crystal. And obviously, manga, we know, super fast paced, get to the point, we're done. Anime, they dwell, they look into the little things, character backgrounds, how they react, how they interact, all that. We get to the into that 90s. And then in Crystal, it was just also same as manga, bam, 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 done. So finally, I saw some character development. We get, like Luke said, we get to see their dreams, their ambitions, where they're coming from. Finally, but I felt like we got that only for the inners, and the outers are like, here, Sailor's like, here's your new crystal. Have fun.
No, the outers are perfection. They have no flaws. They don't bother with insecurities. Well, they know they the shit.
Right? They did say, like, Michiru was also like a little bit, God, I can never be as strong as them or something like that. But I really wish they would have gotten into the outers as much as they did the inners. And I did appreciate the time they took to do that because we didn't get it in Crystal at all. But I think they could have, you know, maybe managed the time a little bit better because that was basically the whole first movie when we could have gotten a little bit more.
So you're saying you wish they would have deviated from the manga. You wanted them to write new panels for the outers?
No.
So they can have something comparable to the inner story?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. That's more of a manga issue than the movies. You're right.
Yeah, because they never did anything like the inners in the manga. So I'm like, ooh, but
it's
no,
exactly like the manga.
But that would be kind of cool. I don't know if, you know, fans would be pissed about that if they, you know, started just writing new material that's not from the manga.
Right.
But I think a lot of us from the 90s who love the 90s anime would have, I mean, as long as it was good writing, we would have appreciated that. You know, something new, something fresh.
Right. Hey, yes. I looked at my notes and actually got something good to say about the movie. I really loved that whole nightmare sequence of Usagi where they're like little, her and Mamoru, they're like little and they're like walking hand in hand to school. I was like,
that was cute.
This is so cute.
It was animated like, perfectly too.
It was melting
it was.
My heart.
It
was like,
no flaws.
And I kind of
kid Mama and Usa.
Now I kind of want to try lime marmalade on French toast.
She was so excited for that. It was so cute.
Another note I had was I actually love seeing way more of Saturn. Like, we have not seen that much Saturn. It was so nice.
Right.
And but, she's a different Saturn, too, mm-hmm. than we saw in season 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I do have one bad note, because I saw we're still on story. I did not like Nahelenia's motivation and the whole reason it felt like Sleeping Beauty Maleficent ripoff. I was like, girl, that's why you upset? But that was
and cliche, you know, light and darkness, all the things. She was basically the flip-flop of Queen Serenity.
Why the dark gotta be bad?
Yeah. I thought the same thing. I was like, whoa, Maleficent. One thing I thought was kind of funny was the kaleidoscopes, when they went to go pick them out, you know, obviously that's what they made the new ones for, the really expensive limited edition ones.
The glass ones. One.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It had a big old sale there. Like, I was like, oh, I wonder how much those are. And Mama just bought two of them. No big deal.
Yeah, who know how much they are? They left that out in the manga. I think it's they were like 500 yen each.
Yes,
they were 1,000 yen total.
They're like, let's not mention that because we're charging like $500 for these fucking things.
Let's add a few more zeros.
Who was happy they never said that they had souls though, like they did in the manga?
That
part is so weird, and they left that out. They're just like, they're a part of, they were calling to you, but they never clearly said, oh, these have souls, like they did in the manga. I'm like,
yeah.
I like that
it was calling to them. It made more sense.
Yeah.
They have consciousness, but we'll never reference it ever again.
That's such a weird part in the manga that I really dislike, but I'm glad they did a good job of representing it in this movie. These movies.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought was kind of funny was when the tiger was loose, it was like, oh, the guardians must get this tiger. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, like, isn't that like animal control's problem? Like,
why do we need Sailor Moon to get the tiger?
I wrote that down in my book. Yeah, I'm like, I thought that when I read the manga too, I'm like, what the heck? Isn't this animal control's problem? But then I also thought, I was like, maybe they're sensing the evil aura. I don't know. It never was mentioned. So to me, it sounds like animal control should have took
it. Yeah, what was she going to do? Hit it with a giant heart? I'm like,
PETA.
It's dead.
It made me laugh so much.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's funny.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And then when Mars.
What about this? Oh. No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, when Mars couldn't transform, she's like, "Ooh, did I say the wrong spell?" I'm like, wait,
I said that in manga too.
She did say the wrong thing though. She said Mars star power, and it's supposed to be Mars planet power, because that was what their last transformation phrase was. So it's strange
I
that
forgot
she did.
They said spell in the manga, because I was just like, wait, I guess it is a spell. Could be a spell, but
yeah. But it was strange though that she said, I don't know if it was a mistake, a continuity error, but in the Japanese version she says Mars star power and she doesn't transform. Well, of course she doesn't transform, because in the last season she was saying Mars planet power.
That doesn't work anymore.
And when Venus tried to transform, she yelled Venus planet power.
Yes, she did.
And she didn't transform.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, they do say she does say Mars star power makeup, and she's like, I can't transform. Did I use the wrong transformation words in the Eternal?
Words. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't remember them saying spell. So I was like,
she did say words, and this is the Eternal Edition. I don't know how I can't remember how the 2011 ones are translated. I know they have a different translation.
While we're still on story, I was going to say one thing I found interesting. In the 90s one, Fisheye was really focused on for maybe being trans. And in this one, it felt like Hawkeye was the trans character.
Yes! Like,
I was like, okay. Like,
did you notice it changed the design too? Like, made it look more like a male in the face? Because I think in the manga, it was all dressed up, like had eyeshadow on and looked like a woman.
Well, yeah, they looked like themselves. And whatever pronoun you are going by, honey, it is June.
Yes.
Do it.
That was a very positive thing. Yes.
Yes.
Come on, Japan.
That was very cool.
But did you feel sad? Okay, I will say that was the saddest death of all three of them was Hawkeye. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I feel like at the end when he was saying, you know, go follow your dreams, Mako-chan. you know, I felt like that was real sincere, and I was like,
it was. I was sad about that too.
Besides Tiger's Eye and Fish Eye, they didn't have that same ending.
Yeah,
like
didn't like touch your heart
like they did. Yeah,
yeah, But I love the trailer. They're my favorite villains. So it was a very refreshing change. And they're all drag queens. Like, oh, love it. But I did feel like we had so little time with them. Whereas the 90s, again, a lot of character development with them. So I just felt sad that we didn't have them as much. But also, they had their time to shine. So yeah. I'm okay with them being.
Well, it's sad when they don't redeem them in the manga. They just kill them off. Like, mm-hmm. the only reason why the Amazonas Quartet got so much time is because they kept them in the manga. But, like, for the villains, they always, one attack kills them in the manga every time.
Right.
Yeah. One done.
Yep.
Although, by the way, I was surprised. I did read the manga, but not recently. It's been a few years. But I don't remember the Quartet being this inept. Like, they felt really dumb to me. Like, they weren't doing their job appropriately because they kept sending all these, you know, bad guys to get, well, you know, the trio and what are the other two called?
I can't remember their names. Yeah. But man, how
are you talking about?
Xenolite or
Xenotime and Zeolite.
Oh, those guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How anime accurate did they look? Sorry.
They were accurate. I went back
manga,
and looked. Manga
accurate. They looked like the manga. Sorry.
Yes, they looked just as crazy looking. I did reference that because I was like, I don't remember them being this ugly. But yeah, they ugly.
Yeah. Another thing that got me is when Artemis was holding on to Venus and Artemis's blood was going down her arm. I was like, no!
Sarah, I knew that part. Wasn't that shocking when you saw? I mean, we knew it happened, but when you imagine poor little Artemis getting crushed, I was
poor
like,
Neko, Yasha.
I was going to be like, Tara's not going to survive this.
I didn't. I am surprised I'm here.
You were the one that I thought about during that scene. I'm like, she can't handle this. Even though we know he don't die, but she ain't going to handle it.
Human like, Artemis looks so much like Inuyasha. I call him Neko Yasha.
Yeah, I was surprised. And Helios were looking fine because I didn't think they looked fine in the manga.
Yeah.
But both of them were really good looking in this style of animation. I was blown away because I didn't think they were attractive in the manga drawings.
Did you notice that Helios as Pegasus in the beginning, he was little pony.
Yeah,
and then at the end,
massive.
He was a
stallion.
Horse. Yes, I was like, wow.
It's all Clydesdale. Maybe it's at 6 months.
His six months.
Kelly's had puberty.
You went from Rainbow Dash to freaking Clydesdale. Sin, what were you going to say?
I forgot.
She got caught up in the big Pegasus, little pig.
Yes. I know Helios was the Pegasus in the beginning, and then Helios, that was his Pegasus, so maybe that was the difference, but I was just like, hey.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah.
In so, that one frame I sent you guys.
Ochi said that Helios was looking fine. I was like, I don't remember he was being cut.
Right? What is wrong? Thank so you. Good. I was like getting lost in those eyes. I was like, Chibiusa over here. Love at first sight.
Oh, you know what I did miss? I did miss Bondage Helios.
Oh, yes. When you almost got to see a little crack, but.
Oh. Speaking of, how low were Tiger's eyes panties?
Oh, they
like,
were, they
you
were
could
not
see
low
pubes. I'm just saying, like, if it was real life, like, you'd be like, girl, like.
I did love all his bush. Poses, though.
He was into himself.
All right. Is there anything else we need to touch upon?
We're moving on, I think, unless anybody has anything else. Okay, we're moving on to transformations and attacks. So I guess we're just going down the list again. Luke, you want to kick us off?
Well, I was relatively pleased with them. There were a few that when they were close up, they look amazing. As they get kind of further in the background, there were some rough frames in there. But for the most part, I really love the transformations and the attacks. I know that at first, when at Usagi's birthday, they released the dual crisis transformation, we were all kind of like, recycled. And a lot of them felt recycled, but they added kind of little new flares in there that I really liked. So overall, I was happy with them. Yeah.
I'll just touch on the two that I thought were different because everything else felt the same. I thought Venus's felt very PGSM. Hers was totally different than everybody else. She's like dancing, posing. I was like, okay, girl, like someone likes Venus. They gave her all this time to shine. And Saturn was so excited. And I like that she was kind of like at first, like in the fetal position, like she's being reborn. And then it was like, that was it. You're done. So that's my thoughts. Just like Saturn's transformation. Quick, done, next.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just gotta do it.
Yeah, well, that was like the most anticipated transformation.
Well, yeah, and like you have all this creative freedom, and that's what you do.
Yep. Okay. My thoughts exactly. I am kind of a hater of the transformations just because I want something new, and I don't know if this is just my opinion, but I don't like it when they do the exact same transformations from the 90s, and a lot of them felt like they were almost frame by frame. I know Luke mentioned they did a little bit of differences, which they did, and I appreciated those. I'm like, yes, thank you. Give me those little tiny new details, please. Saturn's I hated. Hers was so short. You didn't get any of the clear body like you do everybody else. You could see a little butt crack, whatever. Hers was none of that. So I'm like, I feel like they miss an opportunity for a epic Sailor Saturn Henshin, and they shit all over her. They could have done something really cool. The outers, I don't know. Some of the transformations besides Moon and Chibi Moon felt like the frame rate was like, they were like going cheap or something. I feel like they could have added additional frames to make it look smoother. They looked very like, ooh, like almost robotic in some of the animation part of it. But that's just me. I wish there was brand new transformations just to give us something new. But there is one part that I appreciated.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Was it the little leaves on Jupiter's forehead?
No, because that was, that's Attack. I haven't even talked about Attack.
Oh, well, I mean,
we're still... transformation. Oh, sorry,
okay,
sorry.
Okay, my bad.
My bad. Yes, I love that. Yeah, as far as Attacks goes, they were almost the same too. But the only part that I really liked was when there was a part, I think it was the first movie when Sailor Moon and Chibi Moon transformed, and it was instant. Like, I'm like, thank you. All those memes that are like, you know, tuxedo mask waiting for them to transform. Nah, it's instant. Here is the proof. So I did like that. I was like, I don't need to see this recycled animation again. So thank you for making it instant. As far as the attacks, I don't have much to say about the attacks.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't.
Oh.
What about you, Sin? Do you?
Yeah.
Go for it.
No, I'll keep it short. But I do want to take this opportunity to say, look at my earrings.
Oh,
I have kaleidoscope
earrings.
Yes, I have them both. Oh. That was fun. Anyway, I agree. They showed us so much in the previews and all that kind of stuff. They showed us so much of the transformations and the attacks that if there was any element of surprise, it was gone by the time we watched the movies. Like, we were just so spoiled over and over, all the previews, everything. They just kept showing the images. So I didn't hate them. They felt like they were part of the movie overall. Like, they had the flow. They did the kaleidoscope, what is it? The Moon Gorgeous Meditation. Five times. I'm counting them. 5.5 times.
She counted.
I counted. They did them a lot. So
did you like that they did them separately, though? That was kind of cool. That was different.
Well, that's why it's in a half, because one of them, Chibiusa, didn't go through with it. Yeah. And then, because I think she got interrupted right in the middle. And then the other one, that was okay. But I like you guys said, it's cool that I want them to reference some of the past things, but not trace them completely. Give us something new. So I would have preferred they had not shown not all of it, you know? Like it wasn't a surprise. I would have been like, oh my God, oh my God. But I wasn't. I was like, okay, hurry up. So transformations, I like them. They're cute. You know what I did think, though? I've been watching a lot of anime lately, like just in general. I think most of us here watch Demon Slayer. Most of us watch anime on a regular basis or whatever. So I do feel like, even though I was a little bit disappointed with Crystal, I do feel like this movie is kind of in line with what is going on right now. Obviously not as high level as Kimetsu no Yaiba, Demon Slayer, the movie. Like, obviously not at that level. But it does feel like an actual anime. So I felt like it was so sparkly, so pretty, so colorful. All the transformations, all the attacks, I love them. If I wouldn't have seen them, I would have been very, very much very excited. So I like them. I enjoyed them. Yeah.
Do you wish there was more like real-time attacks? That was another one of my critique I forgot to say. I wish there was real-time that you just see them just, you know, slinging their attacks with the backgrounds that they're in instead of just, you know, what do you call those? Bank footage or whatever.
Yep. I would have loved that.
Yeah. So pretty much same old as you guys.
No, I agree on this one.
That's what you get for being the last. The transformations, they weren't as hyped as I'd hoped they would have been. They dropped the ball on Saturn for sure. They could have blown that up because it was her first one. So they really dropped the ball on that one. Should have been something special. I mean, I loved seeing it. We finally got to see it. Mm-hmm. I did love Sailor Uranus's space sword attack.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. I do wish there was some more real-time attacks because it's kind of sucks that, okay, they do their thing and then, can we see it? Can we see it happen? I guess I don't have much to add to that. I do like that Neptune got her mirror back. And did her little attack too. That was really cool.
Submarine reflection.
Yeah, the submarine reflection. Yep. I don't have all
this. Yeah, why did Uranus and Neptune each get two attacks and the inners only got one attack? Like, that was. Point. But it was cool.
Naoko, why?
Actually, we got questions. Saturn had three. Hold on. Saturn had three, and I wrote them all three. I'm like, wow, we get a lot of Saturn.
But hers were all like in the moment attacks. Yeah. None of hers were
silent wall.
Yeah, so we did have real time attacks with her. And then that one that she just, you know, stopped the glass shards from coming down without any words. She's just a powerful lady.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nope. Her staff must not be heavy because the way she is like holding it all the way by the end of it.
Magical girl power.
I loved about her staff though, because you could always hear her moving it.
Okay.
Like they always made the sound of whenever she was moving it, you could hear it actually making noises. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
The whoosh whoosh.
Oh no, it was like a clang clang. Like there was
a clang clang? I don't remember.
Yeah, like when her glaive came down, it was like a
When it's hitting something. Yeah. I thought you meant like in the air.
Oh no, it was just sometimes there you just hear a clang and I'm like, okay. Or like when she lifted it up, you could hear a clang. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Chang chang.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and move on to the next topic. Lux, you've been waiting for this.
I feel like I've been unloading this whole time.
Honestly, I feel like you're right. I've been saying most of the things as they come up about the things I didn't like. I think the main thing that kind of threw me off was some of the pacing issues, particularly like I was just thinking, you know, there were some things that were just so unnecessary for them to say, but they said it because it was said in the manga. Like, for example, I remember Michiru was talking about how she was in Vienna and how Haruka was racing.
In Africa.
And how Pluto was at the observatory. And I'm like, who the hell is taking care of Hotaru? Like, what is going on? Like, they threw stuff in there, even though it made no sense to the overall story. They did it because it was in the manga. And so at a cost of the story having, like, cohesive feeling or having flow, they stuck strictly to the manga, which, I mean, I respect that, but at the same time, they could have just left it out and it would have flowed so much better.
Like the 6 months.
Well, this is something that has to be said. If you want to die of alcohol poisoning, drink every time they say, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, princess, like, oh my god, every little second they kept saying that over Helios. I was like, oh my god, we get it.
So much of the dialogue is names. I know we've seen that with Sailor Moon before, but it kind of goes to the fact that they're literally taking the dialogue from the manga, mm-hmm. and so much of it is just a fucking name.
Isn't that kind of like an anime thing, though? Because I feel like I see that in a lot of anime, like just name calling and also saying what the situation is when, like, it's clear. Like, you don't got to say exactly what's going on every time. Like, we know.
Yeah, they do that.
Another note I just have to say was, I'm glad I did not see this in theaters, because I would have been blinded by the brightness of the first one. It's like, oh my god, I was watching it at 2 a.m. and I was like, I need to turn like a lamp on or something. It was like hella bright.
Over there, king of darkness.
Yeah, as you say.
Oh my god.
Your little black square.
Oh my gosh. I mean, like I said, I've been touching on everything I didn't really care for as we go on, so that's all I'm just gonna nitpick at. So let's go on over to Brooke.
Okay. Overall, I super, super enjoyed them. I really can't say anything too critical about them because I've been looking forward to these damn movies for so long. It's like my only little bit of happiness over the last, you know, year and a half. So overall, they've made me extremely happy. The only things that I can say bad about it is they're still not there as far as quality of animation, quality of story, as other animes and other anime movies are. I would love to see a Sailor Moon version that would just blow me away. And I did get that, I feel like, if we're talking about movie comparisons, in the 90s Sailor Moon movies. I felt like everything was perfect about those. The animation, the music, the pacing, the story, everything was like hit. I mean, we even got real-time attacks in the third one. So it's like, why can we not have that today? I don't know. So that's really I think that's everybody's critique. So overall, I really like them. My only critique is I wish, you know, they would utilize all of the technology we have and are having with animes and movies today.
But can I ask you a real quick question?
Yeah.
Because you mentioned that we've waited forever for these. Do you think in the 5 or 6 years that we've like been waiting for this, do you think in the time that it took to make this, it lived up to like, or should it have been better?
Oh, it should have definitely been better. I'm not saying this is a perfect release, but I am saying it's better than season 1 and 2 for sure. They got better with each thing, but we're still not there yet. Will we get there for stars? I hope so. That's all I got to say.
Me too. I hope so.
I hope so. Yeah. Just really fast commenting on that. You said that the previous movies, we had time to see real time attacks and all that and a more cohesive story, but they didn't have to cram that much story into just movies. So,
true.
Yeah. So I guess that's why we had time. But when it comes to anime quality, they should be up there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they're pretty standard, but I would wish, you know, a little bit more. And well, when I came into this movie, I was already a hater, like I said previously. Like, I was like, no, I'm hating all these little stills that we're seeing. I had a big issue with the size of Pegasus. I had a big a big issue with, you know, some of the frames that looked, the faces looked wonky. So I was like, I'm going to watch this movie. Fine, I'm going to watch it. And then I turned it on to like, okay, well, this isn't bad. Well, this isn't terrible. I kind of like that. You know what? This isn't that bad. Oh, my God, I like it. Oh, my God, it's so pretty. Ah, that was me the whole movie.
Sorry. Yes. There was some beautiful scenes that blew me away.
Oh, yeah, there were.
So it did get progressively better from where my expectations were at. But that's not to say there were some things that were just really cringe. And most of it is just wonky animation and
dialogue.
Yeah, the dialogue and pacing. It's just the same issues we've been talking over and over. So I do feel like we got some more good things than bad, but the bad things were kind of bad, like really bad, like that bad.
I love that you made those.
That's why she took so long.
I love it. That and Helios.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm trying to look through my notes. What is this? Let me see. I don't know. I think we've already said pretty much everything that that I thought was bad. Like, I should have saved everything for now.
Yeah, so obviously pacing. We already talked about it. I had a train of thought, but I lost it after seeing Sin's drawings. Because those always make me I love them. They make me laugh.
They're you gotta mail her so some sad. Of those. Look at
I love them. They're amazing.
You need to put them on sticks.
Can I have one over my head? I need one.
This is a really fast thing that I did, but you know.
Can I get a bunny? I need one.
Sure. I'll get you one.
I feel like, you know, we all know they have 6 years to do this. 6 years. It was too much to put into two movies. I wish maybe they could have had three movies, but then we'd be waiting 8 years, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like I wish we could have had episodes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I know we've talked about this before, Luke. You know, you talk about the transformations. They take a lot of the time. But I feel like with so much that was going on, and there's no way that you could tell that was 6 months. But in a season or episodes, you would have been able to. And the girls would have all gotten their transformation power-ups in the first episode. Or, within the first or second episode. And we would have had other stuff going on to bring us up to that 6 months. So that's what, you know, if they had 6 years to do this, I feel like it should have been Demon Slayer par, but, you know.
It's but I think not, we all knew that it
yeah,
wasn't
we all knew.
We all went into this with low. Did anybody go into this with high expectations?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
But overall, still, I loved it. I enjoyed it. Like how Sin started, she's like, okay. Dude, it hit me in the feels. I was like, I cried like 3 or 4 times. So it's just like, and I went right into the second movie right after the first one. I was like, oh, hell yes, press play.
Yeah. I mean, you I have to.
They were.
So yeah, overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I love the new character designs. I thought they looked so good.
They were cute.
They looked good. Yeah, when they were animated right, they were looking good.
But the stills, those stills with Sailor Moon, just no curves. Just
yeah.
Yep. What happened? Even her fuku wasn't even flowy. It was just like.
Yep.
We went from one extreme to the other because when we were watching Crystal, they have these, like, especially season 1 and 2, they have these super long legs. And, you know, they're abnormally thin. And you know, a lot of people call them moon sticks or sticky. Because they're literally sticks. And their hair is flowier. Their skirts are nice and fluffy. So there's more like a shape there. And this one did feel a little bit flatter, like you guys mentioned.
But when it was animated, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was just when it was the stills, it was like, where's the... Because even in the calendar that I have, Sailor Moon is like, and I'm like, wait,
they're all just standing there. Yeah,
where's the flow?
Yeah,
which is weird because you know in the manga, Noko loves to draw curves.
Oh, for sure,
she loves to draw curves, but they did not see a lot of that.
They did not forget the curves on Venus.
Oh yeah,
so like, where did that come from?
I will say while we're still on the bad and the ugly, there was something that bothered me at the end of the second movie was I felt like I was on Drag Race, all these costume changes. Like one minute they're in their fuku, then they're in their princess dresses, then they're in their fuku, then they're princess dresses. I'm like, I was like, insert the gif of what's Rue's best friend's name? The one that's like, yes, but not like reverse it. Like, no. What's her name? Michelle Visage. Like all these costume changes. I was like, which is it, girl? Choose.
Yes. I also had a problem with that. Like they were just changing in and out. Well, because they went from super senshi to princess to eternal senshi to princess again. So,
but
like,
except for Sailor Chibi Moon and Sailor Saturn, they stayed in their Eternofukus.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Even though the others went back to the princess.
Yes, yeah, they did. Because Saturn so like, brought the little orb to Princess Serenity.
Oh, wait. While we're talking about princess stuff, this isn't bad or ugly. This is good. I love that they name dropped their castles, like the Magellan, like.
Oh, yeah. I had a list of all of those.
And I was like, oh, my God.
That was really cool.
I love that. See, I love something.
Yeah. No, you've actually been pretty positive about this. I thought you didn't like it, but you've said
I think you secretly loved it, Lux.
No, but I thought that was really cool because I always liked that in the book. And I was like, oh my God, they did that.
Yes, yes, I love that too.
Now, what would have been cooler is if they had like a little picture on the side of like what their castles looked like. That would have been cool. Hey, I'll take the win where I can get it. Especially with Crystal.
Did you guys notice that the ending songs that they had some from the 90s? The Watashi ni Tachi ni Narita today at the first movie?
And then crying and singing.
Yeah!
Come on, Nihongo Queen with that pronunciation.
Yeah.
I'm just making it up as I go, but I love that they put that song in there.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. And what's the other one? Rashiku Ikimasho?
Yes.
Anza sung that, which I was excited about. Anza is the original musical actress for Sailor Moon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where was she at in it?
She sang the song.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry. So she sang that version.
You didn't see that live action person walk by?
She pulled the mic out. ding.
I did love that.
All right. So what is next? What's our I guess we don't have really expectations, but what do we think that's coming? Will we get stars?
It ended kind of on that cliffhanger. And I think that I was surprised that at the beginning of the film, it said a Netflix film. Like, you know, Netflix had to throw money at this. So if Netflix is involved, and I think really the next few months are going to be real important. If there's a lot of views on this, I think that Netflix could continue supporting these movie releases and we could get stars or the final arc, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, whatever they want to
call Netflix
it.
So Netflix is going to save the day.
Please, Netflix.
save our sailors.
Maybe just throw a little more money at the next one so that it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for stars because we're going to see so much. If they stay faithful like they've been doing, we'll see Heavy Metal Papillon. We'll see... just so much more that we didn't see. Like, oh my gosh. So
yeah, stars is completely different.
Cosmos.
Sailor stars. Yeah.
Oh, Cosmos.
Yes, Cosmos.
Yeah. We'll finally get to actually see more of her instead of a silhouette. Yeah. Yeah. I do think they're going to continue on. They have to. I mean, it's only one more arc, one more season. They've got to complete it at this point. And like Luke said, with Netflix involved now, if they get a lot of views, you know, Netflix may just save the day, because I know us international fans are out there seeing it. I know people are watching it.
Brooke, you said something that made me kind of think when you said we need one more last season. It made me think of the 90s, how we never got Sailor Stars in the U.S. No. I don't want that to happen again. I didn't even think of that until you said that.
Happen again.
Well, we did eventually get it, so there is hope.
How many years later, sis?
Right now you said that we hadn't seen Cosmos. We did see her in the musical, though.
And who played her?
Satomi.
Tell them a little bit about Satomi and why that was important.
The what?
Said, tell them about Satomi and why it was important she played Cosmos.
Oh, okay. So, for those of you who don't watch the musicals or not interested in them or whatever, the newer musicals that started in 2013.
AKA Perfection.
Yes, they're beautifully made. Like, see, this is a good example on how they can adapt the manga into just 2 hours. Like, all of those were really well adapted, and they didn't go scene by scene, you know?
Yes, girl.
Yeah. So we in this group really, really appreciate those musicals, especially because we got to go to them. So anyway, right at the end of, what is it? Un Nouveau Voyage, excuse my French, they had a change of cast. So all the girls who played the Inners, Moon, Mercury, Mars, Jupiter, and Venus, they all graduated, as they call it, and you don't get to see them anymore. So they move on to other things. But luckily for the, what's it called?
The Movement Finale.
Thank you. The Movement Finale came around. They recast the girl who played Sailor Moon as Sailor Cosmos, because in the manga is like, she's kind of like this very way, way, way in the future, even past Chibiusa, even past everything, a future version of Sailor Moon. But just having that actress come back and do that was amazing. So kind of, you know, off topic here, but I thought it was interesting that we got to see Cosmos, or however you pronounce that, on stage. And hopefully we get something like that in whatever comes next.
Yeah, because they had a story for her and everything. It was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, we get to see that, you know, she was really devastated about what was going on in the future, and she had lost hope, you know? So coming back.
She's totally not the Usagi we know. So this is like so super interesting. Like, when did she lose this hope? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, things have to be really bad for Usagi to lose her hope like that.
Right. You know? Yeah.
Ends and everything. So it's an interesting story that we would like to see, and we would like to see it animated finally after all these years. So yes, definitely, like you guys already said, we know that Netflix is probably going to throw money at this. It doesn't make sense for them to just make to buy this one movie off of Toei, because they are branding it like it's theirs. So like Luke said,
right,
they threw a bunch of money into this, but it doesn't make sense for them to stop there. They need to go the extra step and finish it. And if they want to do more after that, I'd be happy too.
And you know it's just going to progressively get better, like it has been on trend. So stars would be awesome.
Yeah, I honestly thought that the second movie had higher quality animation than the first movie. Yeah. So imagine what could happen.
Exactly. Yes. It's exciting.
We might get something on par with the 90s. And not.
What? Surpass everything. Like, surpass it all. Surpass Demon Slayer.
Except not retrace jobs.
Yes. Well, luckily, since the 90s anime was so different than the manga, hopefully they just have to redo everything. So
yeah.
I think. But, so yeah, I guess for the future, I do want to see, obviously, stars, but also we have this musical coming up, and I like it that it's also kind of perfectly timed, because we're going to get All the Senshi and also Human Luna, and we just saw All the Senshi and Human Luna, so it kind of feels, like, I know this is before what is happening right now, but it kind of feels part of what is going on right now.
Yeah. You're
yeah, right. So I like that. I like that the musical, it's coming up, what, in September? Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Postpone it.
Please do.
Or winter tour.
Yeah, or a winter tour, yes.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I want for Sailor Moon. Just more of the same universe, but also expanded in the future. But I feel like everyone's, like, on board with that, pretty much. Yeah.
I was chatting along with that, though, too. So, I mean, same thing. With Netflix throwing money.
No.
You know.
Make it
We've got to be getting something better. For we better get a 5. Better get stars.
Yes! Super excited now for the future.
Yes.
All right, you guys. Well, I think we covered pretty much everything that we wanted to cover. I'm sure we all have like little thoughts and things that we might want to eventually talk about. But for now, do you guys have any final thoughts, any final feelings? I don't know. Just anything you'd like to add.
I think that I'm really excited for what this movie could bring. We just talked about Netflix, and I think that this is a chance for Sailor Moon to go mainstream again. So I am just very excited and very hopeful that this movie lands. I know that, you know, we as like super fans, we are nitpicking, but I think the vast majority of people that watch this aren't going to know the same nuances. And I'm just hoping that Sailor Moon can find a new audience. And I hope that this was enough for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Final thoughts. I was really happy to finally see the Sailor Asteroids animated. That was cool. Even though I don't like them or their hairstyles particularly, I was just happy to see it because it's something new.
Yeah.
I was happy about that. I was happy to finally see human Luna. I mean, human Diana and Neko Yasha. it was just nice to see that stuff, you know, finally done. Because, you know, there was so much that the 90s changed, even though I think that's perfection and I pray to it every night. There was some stuff they did change. So I was happy. Like, although I will never watch these movies again, I do appreciate that we got something entertaining, especially, you know, because, you know, we've been, I mean, COVID's been happening. So it was nice to have something, watched it, and got to see more faithful stuff. Good and bad. So that's my final thoughts.
My final thoughts are I still really like them. I haven't watched the Japanese yet, so I'm looking forward to watching that later today. I've only watched the English so far, which I liked it. I'm really glad that the community kind of came together for these movies. I mean, we've all been on this road, this journey together, you know, waiting for these movies to be released. And I've seen a lot of love in the community, and I made a lot of new friends because of Sailor Moon continuing on. And so, yeah, I'm really happy to see what the future holds for Sailor Moon, if Netflix is going to really help the franchise. And I'm hoping that we get some Sailor Moon Eternal merchandise here in the States, because we have not had one thing Sailor Moon Eternal yet. So I'm really curious when that will happen and what it will be.
Yes.
Yeah. And well,
probably.
And well, I also need to watch the Spanish version, the Latin American Spanish. I know there's a Spanish from Spain, but I also want to watch this probably a couple more times because I did enjoy it more than I was expecting. I did go into it as a hater. I'm not a hater anymore. I enjoyed it. So I'm excited. And I just find this whole thing very promising. I do think that if it's not going to be like top 10, I do think we will see it in like a lot in Netflix, you know? And I do want to take this opportunity to please beg the fans not to watch this illegally, stream it or anything illegally. Please support it. Like, we have a lot of that problem here in Latin America where people can just pay for a month of Netflix or get a free trial, but they would rather just pirate it. So I'm begging people in Latin America, but also people all around the world, mm-hmm. please support this. Please let Netflix know that we want more Sailor Moon. And just be there, you know, to support the franchise. We the Silver Millennials, have been obsessed with Sailor Moon for a long, long time. So we're always going to be there. And you can come to any of us for any questions or any kind of support that you need. Because that's us. That we're a community here. So I think I rambled long enough. So I'm sorry. I'm just very happy that this is happening to us as a fandom. So
yes,
yeah,
and I think that I'm really, really happy that Netflix did get the rights for this movie, because whenever I wore Sailor Moon last year, you know, I could, oh, I like Sailor Moon. Oh, I like your Sailor Moon. You know. Now that Netflix took over these movies to release worldwide, whenever I'm wearing Sailor Moon, they're like, oh my God, did you know there's a Sailor Moon movie? And I'm like, yeah, it's a season 4. It's been around. They're like, what? So these people that have been fans in the past didn't know about it. But because Netflix took it over, I mean, so many more people know about it. And it's so shocking to hear these people, did you know there's a movie? Yeah.
Like, it's bringing them back.
Yes, it's bringing it back. So I think with Netflix getting it has just opened a lot of doors and a lot of eyes. Whereas when Hulu had it, it just wasn't advertised as much. Yeah. And nobody it's just, what's the difference between Hulu and Netflix? Like,
I think more people are subscribed to Netflix.
Yeah.
Do you think
yeah.
Netflix is the platform everybody has versus Hulu? And I feel like Netflix did what did this to Sailor Moon, like Pokemon Go did to Pokemon. Now Sailor yeah. Moon's cool because Netflix yeah. made it cool.
Was Pokemon not cool at some point?
Everybody in my office was playing Pokemon Go when it launched, and I was like shocked. You know, like 50-year-old men who hated anime started telling me about Pikachu and Charizard. I was...
yeah, so I really, it's awesome that Netflix took it over. So good job, Netflix.
Yes,
let's get this.
Thank you, Netflix.
Rolling.
The thing also is that Hulu is only in the U.S. Like, you can't forget that the rest of the world does not have access to
Hulu. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I thought it was like Netflix.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Then
I tried to download Hulu and it won't let me, and I can't. Just as you can't watch it outside of the U.S. and Netflix is worldwide, so there's some
Netflix
great
is more accessible to many more people.
Yep. That makes a lot more sense then.
Yep.
So, good job, Netflix.
I hope they buy the rights to the '90s then and put it on Netflix.
Ooh, yeah,
people would watch it. Yeah,
that would be smart.
Yeah. They are getting more anime, I think, over
there.
Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, they're doing a lot for anime these days. Because they're not like Disney, whereas Disney has like... they have Marvel, they have a Star Wars, but also they have a lot of animation. But yeah. Netflix doesn't have a lot of animation, so they're just saying, we're going to put all our money into anime. And it's working out for them.
Yeah. So maybe we'll see that as in the future. You know, they get the rights to the old stuff after they see how popular this is.
Popular enough for 5 30-year-olds to make a podcast about it.
No shame. I ain't got no shame.
You know, actually,
I'm a proud Mooney.
Before
we
head off,
here.
I want to say, while this is being recorded, is actually Ochi's birthday. Happy birthday, Ochi.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
We can't sing that. That's copyrighted.
Oh.
I found that out from Teen Titans.
Oh yeah, the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys. You guys are my best friends ever. Sailor Moon brought us together. If it wasn't for Sailor Moon, I would have never met you four amazing people. So I love you guys with all my heart. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Well, love you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Okay, well, that's our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to follow us on our social media, and we will see you next time.
We forgot to put our social media up.
No, it's coming. It is coming.
There we are. Follow us.